Greetings, saints. God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you that your anointing, your blessing is going to teach us today and give us trust in you and faith in you. And we give praise unto you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for moving upon your people all over the world to pray in this victory that you have stated in your word. Lord, there are lots of things stated in your word that don't come to pass for individuals because they don't believe it. So, Lord, bless us today to believe what you say and thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'll just remind you of something that happened here recently. We shared a dream with you about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, how that they had created a double for her when she died. And very interesting. And I did send that to the president. In fact, I sent it to him two different ways. And I believe they got it because I've heard back through the grapevine out there that they're looking for that double. And praise God. Well, I've also sent to him about the pestilence too. And I believe that they know it. They're not stating. They have said publicly that they believe the retaliation is coming from the deep state. And they haven't said what it was, obviously. But they may very well know what we know. So, Father, please give wisdom to the president and to the people around him to make all necessary steps to bring down this rebellion in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Well, I'm going to start in Isaiah 13. Some people are saying that this revival is not going to last. The destruction is coming. Of course, the destruction is coming, but it's just part of the bigger scheme to bring to the Red Sea, you know. So, at any rate, Isaiah 13 tells you clearly the end of this. It's all about the fall of Babylon at the hands of Cyrus. And it's very destructive. I believe that to some extent the United States is going to take a chastening too, but it's all going to be to bring people to revival. And it's going to be quite a chastening, I'm pretty sure. So, Isaiah 13, I think I'm going to start in verse 9, and of course this is a type and a shadow. It's not a letter about what's happening. I've told you about a day of the Lord before the tribulation and a day of the Lord after the tribulation. One of them is concerning the people who have persecuted the man, child, and the bride, and the other one is those who have persecuted the church. So it says here, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. And the sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause its light to shine." Well, I don't know how it's going to be fulfilled this time. I do know that they're going to spray people from the air, and I do know that they're going to bring people into the country, Muslims, to release pestilence. And, of course, they've got their trainees on the ground learning how to overthrow the government, the Muslim trainees. So it's going to be by the sword. It's going to be by pestilence. It's going to be by fire. "And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity." Again, speaking about the fall of Babylon. "And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, because they think they can do just anything. They got their trust in their Lord and Savior, Satan. And will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more rare than fine gold, even a man than pure gold of Ophir. Therefore, I will make the heavens to tremble, and the earth shall be shaken out of its place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall come to pass that as the chased roe and as the sheep that no man gathereth, they shall turn every man to his own people and shall flee every one to his own land. Every one that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is taken shall fall by the sword. I would say that they're going to clean up the mess, and the Red Sea is representing, the fullness of the Red Sea is representing that, taking them down. It's happening. It hadn't quite made it to the elites yet, but they're working their way up. I'm going to go to verse 17, and I will stir up the Medes against them. Of course, that's Cyrus, who shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Well, Cyrus Trump really doesn't have any need for money. In fact, he spent, I think, $1 billion of his own money. So this is not his ambition, you know. And their bows shall dash the young men in pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. As Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. All right. And what is God going to do for his people? Well, 14:1 says, the Lord will have compassion on Jacob. Jacob is the Old Testament church. It's Israel, the Old Testament church, right? Type of the New Testament church. And set them in their own land. And the sojourner shall sojourn himself with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess in their land of the Lord, in their land of the Lord for servants and for handmaids. And they shall take them captive whose captives they were. Well, that's happening, isn't it? They shall rule over them. The Lord will give, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy trouble and from the hard service wherein thou hast been made to serve. And it goes on down to speak about, verse 4, how doth the oppressor cease? And the golden city ceaseth. God hath broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of rulers, that smote the peoples in wrath with a continual stroke. Yep, continual war has come out of the deep state. And attempts to have world wars and kill multitudes of people. Obvious attempts. How wicked these people are. It's because they've been taken over by Satan. They're Satanists that rule the nations in anger with a persecution that none restraineth. Yes, people are tired. The world is tired of America and its constant wars and made up wars, false flag wars, just for the oil, just to kill people. And by the way, kill Christians all through the Middle East. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I tell you, Trump has already stopped quite a few wars. We praise God for that. So who is at the root of the thing? Well, we know Satanism and child sacrifice, pedophilia. All these things are part of Satanism wherever it goes. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the morning? You remember in Revelation 12, The angels did the physical warfare with the demons and Satan, but it was the saints who got the victory through their faith and through laying down their lives for the brethren, right? O day star, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground that didst lay low the nations? He certainly has. And thou saidst in their heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's what they tried to do. That's what Obama tried to do. He brought this invasion into the country for the purpose of subjecting the Christians, overwhelming the Christians. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, that's God's people, as he told Abraham, and I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the uttermost parts of the north. Well, he pretty well is doing that, has been doing that too. He's been ruling as the dragon in Revelation 12, who was called Satan. He's been ruling over the churches. That revival down there in Pensacola, great big dragon over the top of the building. People saw it, you know. I shared that. It's the dragon that's ruling. And, of course, the signs and wonders were all goofy signs and wonders. They weren't deliverances and healings and so on and so forth that destroy Satan, you know, in his work. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Yeah, he wants to rule over the people of God, like Obama and Hillary and the factious leaders, by the way, same thing. They don't know it, but they're serving Satan. And, of course, Satan, if Satan hates you, that's good. He hates me, I know it. He's proven it. He's proven it through his people. Yeah. And what did he say about them, the Babylonians? Well, verse 18 says, and the kings of the nations, all of them, sleep in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast forth away from thy sepulchre like an abominable branch, clothed with the slain that are thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a deadly body trod under foot. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land. Thou hast slain thy people. This is what's coming. Deep state has been slaying their own people in this land because of the spirit of murder and Satan inside of them. And the faction in the church has done the same thing. They have slain their own people. It is Satan in them that has slain the people of God. And so anyway, I want to point out to you that this destruction of Babylon is exactly what we have coming as far as the Red Sea. And I want to point out to you why I'm saying this. Let's look in Isaiah 48, 20 through 22. Go ye forth from Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing declare ye. So they're coming out of Babylon, right? Being set free by who? Cyrus, who is Trump, right? With the voice of singing declare ye this, utter it even unto the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. He is going to save his New Testament church out of the Babylonish deep state. Right? And they thirsted not when he led them forth through the deserts. Deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock. Oh my goodness, you know that was when they came out of Egypt, not Babylon. But now he's comparing Babylon to Egypt, which is very good, because there are many parables in the Egyptian Exodus 2 that are awesome and give us a great encouragement. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. Okay, so God's going to provide the waters for the people coming out of Babylon, just like he did when they came out of Egypt, right? Yes, it's so awesome. Let's see. I'm going to go to chapter 43, Isaiah 43. And this is also about the deliverance from Babylon. But now, thus saith the Lord that createth thee, O Jacob, and he that redeemeth thee, O Israel. He's redeeming. He is that formed thee, so, O Israel. He's formed Israel. And the next verse is, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. He's redeemed Israel, which means bought and taken. You were paid for. They can't keep you in bondage, right? And believe it or not, Satan, through the shadow government, through the deep state, has ruled over us for many years. But we're going to be set free. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Well, there's the Red Sea again, for goodness sake. He's applying this to Babylon. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. Well, no. They looked at on both sides of them, and there was a wall of water. And I bet you they thought, let me get through this. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I have given Egypt as thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba as thy stead. No, again, he's applying this to the Egyptians, how that they went down in the Red Sea. They were sacrificed in the Red Sea. And God's people were set free, were they not? So cool. Also verse 4, since thou hast been precious in my sight and honorable, I have loved thee, therefore will I give men in thy stead and peoples instead of thy life. Okay, he's going to sacrifice the deep state in the Red Sea. You see that? And all of this kind of points over to, let's see, verse 14 on down. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I will bring down all of them as fugitives, even the Chaldeans in the ships of their rejoicing. I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, who maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Again, who bringeth forth the chariot and the horse. And that, again, Egypt, right? The army and the mighty man, they shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as a wick. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I'll do a new thing. This is so very new, isn't it? How strange in our lifetime to see what we're seeing now. It's like people can't believe it, you know. One more, and then I'm going to go to the Egypt side here. Jeremiah 51, 20 through 25. Well, I want to go back to 18 because it talks about the visitation. they are vanity. Again, judgment on Babylon. They are vanity, a work of delusion. In the time of their visitation, this is a visitation, the Lord is coming in his man-child, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like these, for he is the former of all things. That is the Lord. He is before all things. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. Meaning what? The church, God's people, Right? And with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee I will destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. Again, applying the deliverance from Babylon to the deliverance from Egypt. And who is doing it? Who is supposed to be doing this prayer warfare to bring down this evil? Well, we are. We've been commanded over and over. I hope that everybody out there is spending time doing this and laying aside other things in order to make warfare against this demon principalities and the powers of darkness that are using these poor blind people. With thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and him that rideth therein. Don't worry. I know they're coming up behind us, but we're in the Red Sea. We're coming to the Red Sea, and they're coming up behind us. And with thee will I break in pieces man and woman. With thee will I break in pieces the old man and the youth. The shepherd and his flock, he goes on to say. I will render unto Babylon, verse 24, and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea, all the evil that they have done in Zion, in your sight, says the Lord. I'm against thee, O destroying mountain, says the Lord, which destroyest all the earth. Yes, nobody's done more of that than the United States at the hands of the deep state, right? So, now, let's go to Exodus and look at this story, which we've just found out is the same story. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit more than 7 days from the Red Sea, because there was an important thing happened there that was very much like the Red Sea, and that is the Passover. Exodus chapter 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet one plague more will I bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. A plague is coming. A plague that's going to take them out more than it's going to take us out. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. And when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let them ask every man of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver, jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great. Okay, well, that's the man child, both pre- and post anointing. Okay. This is probably pre, but later it will be post anointing. But the man child is with us, and the man child is doing his work. So let me point out, he said, ask every man of his neighbor. I suggest you do this. Ask. Not them, of them. The money that's going to be redistributed out there is going to come from the world, and it's going to be in the hands of God's people just before going into the wilderness, I believe. And I don't know if the 7 days is going to be a literal 7 days for us. It could be. I can't say that one way or the other. But I know this. Next chapter here is the first part of it is at least, you know, it is 7 days before the Red Sea destruction and the revival that followed. Praise God. Like the Northern Army, you know, they prayed to God. God took out the Northern Army in the sea, by the way, on the east and the west. Right? And then they had a revival. Glory be to God. So we're not too far from the wonderful revival the Lord is sending. And I'm going to go to verse 4. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out in the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Well, the firstborn of Egypt is the old man, right? And this is a part of the Passover, is the death of the old man. Can you imagine? I know that everybody out there may be struggling with something. But just think about it. We're coming to a baptism. You know, these people had eaten the lamb before this. They were saved, so on and so forth. But this baptism in the Red Sea put to death the old man, the Egyptian. And even before that, here at this situation, the old man was put to death. Since we're going through a reenactment of this, the firstborn in the land, firstborn of every person, by the way, is the flesh, the old man, right? So specifically, God is going to use this Passover to take out Pharaoh that sits upon his throne, and I believe he represents the deep state in government and in church, bent on keeping Christians in bondage. But he can't do it because of God's plan, and the whole world's going to take notice. Okay. Even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of cattle, and there shall be a very great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there hath not been, nor shall be any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord doth make a distinction between the Egyptians and Israel. Now let me say something about Israel. Israel, you can't tell an Israelite anymore by what they look like, or what they sound like, or who they hang out with. This circumcision is a circumcision in heart. And so today, you may look out there across Christendom and consider that Israel, but that's not true. It is the people who are circumcised in heart, even though they might be babies growing up. You know, it's those who have chosen this path, right? So it's kind of like Esther. She was used to save the people of God, the chosen people of God. But the chosen people of God are not everybody you see out there in Christianity. Some of those are just plain old tares sown among the wheat, as Jesus said. He said the kingdom of heaven was like tares sown among the wheat, right? So some of those are not God's people. And of course, he's been weeding them out and gathering them together in bundles, as he said. That's been happening. He said, wait till the harvest, and then we'll do this. And it's been happening. We're at the harvest, so praise God. So he made a distinction between the Egyptians and Israel. And they were the true Israel of God, was certainly saved and will be saved and is being saved. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, he said, and all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee. And after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. But the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh will not hearken unto thee, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. This is what's going on, saints. Pharaoh's heart's been hardened by God Almighty. You wanted it to be a very easy thing, but God didn't want it to be an easy thing. He wanted to show you how impossible this is, how vast Pharaoh's power is, how it goes through all the world, even. How the deep state is in control of so many things. He did not want this to be easy because he wanted to show how powerful he is to set people free from a very powerful enemy. In other words, the beast is no match for God in the saints. And of course, the Christians in the tribulation period are going to go through the same thing in Revelation 13. They make war on the saints. The beast makes war on the saints, right? And it's happening now too. So then in the next chapter, we have the Passover. And, just read a little piece of it. They gather the lambs. Everybody got the lamb. And then verse 6 says, "And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month." 14th day, by the way, was also Purim. Oh, my goodness. I told you, Purim is very much like a Passover, wasn't it? God saving his people at the hands of an angry beast, right? "And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at even. And they shall take of the blood, put it on the two side posts on the lintel." We must walk under the blood. 1 John 1:7-9, right? "And walk in the light as he is in the light. And they shall eat the flesh in that night." That's the word of God. He was the word made flesh, and he was also called the word of God. "So they eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread." Unleavened bread means looking at the truth. Get your eyes on the truth. Get your eyes off the world. Forget about what's going on all over the world out there. Don't spend all your time doing that. The Lord wants us to put the word in our hearts in these days to be able to stand up to what's coming. There's only one unleavened bread. There's lots of bread out there, but there's only one unleavened bread. And that's the word of God, right? "With bitter herbs." That kind of sounds like John was told to eat the book. He said it would be sweet in your mouth, but bitter in your belly. The belly is a symbol of the flesh, right? It's bitter to the flesh. "With bitter herbs I shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roast with fire. Its head, its legs, with its inwards thereof." And that means, of course, all of Christ, all of the Word. There are churches that have accepted lots of things, but they don't accept the full gospel that Jesus delivered you not only from your sins, he delivered you from the curse of sin and of death. And he healed your body. And none of the diseases that he has put upon the Egyptians will he put upon you. Exodus 15:26, right? So, this was, of course, for the Passover. This had to be done for the Passover. Then he warned them sternly, again, about the unleavened bread. Please pay attention. Verse 12, "For I will go through the land of Egypt in that night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast." Okay, I'm going to tell you, two things happened, at the Red Sea. The old man was put to death. The Egyptian was put to death. And the beast who chased Israel was put to death. The beast who chased God's people was put to death. Two things going to happen here, see. Think about it. You've been delivered. There is a great deliverance coming to God's people at the Red Sea. Deliverance from their old man and the old man that rules over them in the world. Those two things happened at the Red Sea, right? And then the Lord says, "Against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgments." And that's their demons that rule over them. "I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you." I will pass over you. It is the Lord that is going to take out just who he wants to take out. "And there shall no plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Again, I. And of course, he's talking about his Israel, those that follow him. There's lots of religious people out there, lots of them, that don't know God. They don't know the way to be born again in soul, which is to bear the fruit of their born-again spirit. They don't know the way of that. They're not in the way of sanctification. They've just become religious. They went astray as soon as they were born, speaking lies. So he said, no plague will be upon those who are the elect of God. Many are called, but few are chosen. That word is electos. It means the elect, you see. And let's see. I'm going down a bit. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Verse 15. Even the first day shall you put away leaven out of your houses. Well, the Passover was putting away leaven out of your houses. What is leaven? Everything out there is leaven except the Word of God. You know, Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And he also said, the government too, beware of the leaven of Herod. So religion and government, we got a big problem in both. There is a faction in both coming against God's people. Both are about to be put to death at this Red Sea and this Passover. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Okay, here's the people that are hanging around Israel, but they're not Israel. They're cut off. Okay. There's lots of people that like to hang around the church. They just like fire insurance, you know. That's all they want. They don't want to serve anybody. They don't want to serve the Lord. For in the first day there shall be to you a holy convocation, and in the seventh day a holy convocation, which means a rehearsal. That's what convocation, a rehearsal. What's a rehearsal for? Well, it's a rehearsal for a multitude larger group of people in these days. The things that were spoken unto them, Paul said, were spoken unto those who are at the end of the age, he said. So, okay, so this is the parable. We're looking at this, learning what is coming. So, and in the seventh day, a holy convocation. This whole thing from beginning to end is a holy rehearsal. And he says again in 23, and I will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Now, go over and let's look a little bit at the Red Sea. So, did you catch what I was saying? There is a great deliverance for the people of God. A great deliverance. I mean, personally, you know, the old man is going to die. And yes, the deep state who's chasing God's people out there and wanting to bring them back under bondage by their pestilence. By the way, they've got a new pestilence out there. It's not the flu that they've normally sprayed, which lasts maybe a week or so. It's the flu that lasts for a month to 6 weeks, and it's running rampant out there. Suddenly, we got this. Now, where did that come from? Same people. Okay, but there's worse than that coming. But that's running rampant, and it's spreading throughout the country. Can you imagine being out of work for 6 weeks? Well, I don't imagine that. We will be out of work for 6 weeks, but the world is having to do that. So anyway, Exodus 14. And verse 17. Well, I'm going to go to 16. And remember, this is the same for Babylon. Same thing. It's just a different parable. And lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go into the midst of the sea on dry ground. In other words, judgment and death is on both sides of you. So, like Psalm 91. Right? And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall go in after them. Now, that's a supernatural hardening of heart because, I mean, their God parted the Red Sea, and you are going to chase them into the Red Sea with a wall of water on both sides? Boy, God's ability to harden hearts is stupendous. And we've got a bunch of leadership out there in the deep state who are definitely have supernaturally hardened hearts. Their stupidity is beyond belief. And they shall go in after them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh. Here's the thing. God wants to get honor. He wants to show the whole world he can save his people. No matter how big the beast is. And that's one reason there's going to be a great revival, multitudes of people coming into the kingdom. And even multitudes of Christians coming into the kingdom. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all of his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. Well, that was their weaponry was far beyond the average person out there. The Israelites didn't have nothing like this, right? That was their tanks, right? And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Whoa, look at that. And the Egyptians shall know that I am. Who else could have done this? This is supernatural, what's happening out there. When I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. Wow. Lord, you are a mighty God. Who can stand up to you? And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them to protect them from the chasers, right? And the pillar of cloud removed from before them and stood behind them. It came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, yet gave it light by night. And the one came not near the other all the night. So God separated the deep state from the people who were fleeing through the sea, right? And it goes on to talk about Moses stretching forth his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. Now the marvel of this, of course, is that the east wind did not blow them all away, even though it parted the sea and separated the waters. So you see, this was supernatural, right? Because a wind like that would definitely blow you away. And all the night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Amen. And of course, you remember, they were chasing, and their chariot wheels were removed by the angels of God. They said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians and against the Babylonians, right? Amen. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians and upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. The sea returned to its strength. When the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against it. Too late, too late. You can't get out of there. The water's coming. The Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and even all of the host of Pharaoh that went in after them into the sea. There remained not so much as one of them. Not a one of them left. For the true people of God, the Israelites, the elect, the New Testament Israelites, the elect, for them, there won't be anyone left. No ruler over them. Talking about the flesh, talking about the deep state, etc. So. And, of course, they saw the bodies of the Egyptians up and down the Red Sea. And then they had their revival. verse 15, just like in Joel chapter 2, after the northern army was smitten by the sea, right and left. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. What a testimony. They're given a testimony on the far side. God wanted to impress the nations that he could take down any enemy. Certainly, he has no problem taking down your old man. If he can take down Pharaoh, if he can take down the king of Babylon, if he can take down this mighty deep state that is ruled falsely through our governments for so many years. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. He likes to do things in stupendous ways, doesn't he? The Lord ordained this thing that's happening now. He wanted to impress the world. I got to tell you, if you look out there, you're finding out that it is impressing the world. Look at the yellow vests spreading from nation to nation to nation, overthrowing kingdoms. They don't know what to do with them. So it's not only a great deliverance in this country, although, again, we have this Red Sea still looking at us. We still have this enemy who is going to try once more to kill us before we escape. And it will be their undoing. He has become my salvation. This is my God. I will praise him. Folks, I've always said, it's the right song, but the wrong side. You're supposed to be praising and thanking the Lord before he does the work. That's how faith works. Be anxious for nothing. Let your prayers and requests be known to God with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. When you ask God, you thank him. You don't wait till it's done to thank him. I mean, when it's done, you can thank him too. But you need to thank him. You need to believe you have received. Jesus said, everything you pray for, believe you have received it, and you shall have it. Right? All things whatsoever. He's become my salvation. This is my God. I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Hey, let's start singing this now. How about that? The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. They were impressed with this Savior. Can you remember when Moses first went to him? They weren't impressed. Well, after they saw the judgments that fell, and then the Passover, and then the Red Sea, they were impressed. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. Wow. Ain't this awesome? And his chosen captains are sunk in the Red Sea. The deeps cover them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Yes, Lord, we say, bring them down, Father. Bring our old man down. Bring the enemy that belongs to Satan, his army. Bring them down, Father, in Jesus' name. We put our trust in you, and we praise you now for the end result, Father. Thy right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, dasheth in pieces the enemy. Yes, Lord, we confess it now. You said, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We confess it now, Lord, that your right hand dasheth in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou overthrowest them that rise up against thee. Well, you know it's Satan in them. The dragon was Satan in a body, a seven-head, ten-horned body. If you studied with us, you know the ten horns are the ten continental divisions of the earth. The seven heads are seven world kingdoms that have ruled over God's people, and all of their seed from that day until this day, which is what? The whole world. God is going to show his people and those that are about to be his people that there is no power to restrain him from saving you. Why don't God's people have faith? They see God as a little God, unable to save them from their little problems. And yet here's a great big problem, and he's saving them. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, it consumeth them as stubble. God can take them out in any minute. You know what? He's hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he won't let you go, so that you see the great power of Pharaoh to not let you go. You've already been through that stage, right? You have seen how the beast holds you in captivity. Okay, but now we're about to see what people have complained for years. Why don't we ever see any of this? You know, and now God's doing it, right? And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were piled up. The flood stood upright as a heap. The deeps were congealed. How about that? Congealed. It turned into jello on both sides of them. In the heart of the sea, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind of his nostrils, and the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Yep, I bet you. I bet you they had their armor on and lots of stuff, you know. Of course, a person could shed all that, but the Lord said they weren't going to live. They weren't going to make it through the Red Sea, so there is nothing you can do against the Lord. Amen. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy loving kindness hast led the people that thou hast redeemed. You have been bought and taken. You've been delivered out of bondage. Thou hast girded them in thy strength to thy holy habitation. The peoples have heard. They tremble. Pangs have taken hold on the inhabitants of Philistia. Well, now he's talking about those pagans out there that are listening and hearing what's going on over there at the Red Sea, how God saved his people. And they're trembling. Then were the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Ooh, their God is God. The mighty men of Moab trembling taketh hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan are melted away. Let's get out of here. They're coming in our direction. Well, Father, we thank you for all you're showing us and all your mighty power to save and to deliver your people. And Lord, it's just thrilling to know this. We know you want to use us, Father, because you don't do anything but that you pray it through your saints. You exercise faith through your saints. You do spiritual warfare through your saints. You want to teach us how to walk as a son of God. We're in son of God training here. So we thank you, Father, for your mighty power, which you give us a little part in to bring down the enemy. And we speak them down too, Lord, in the name of Jesus. They will not be able to do anything right. They will not make good decisions. Going into the Red Sea after your people was sheer stupidity. We call them the stupid demons, Lord. You do a wonderful job in blinding the enemy. Thank you so much, Father, that they will not be able to rise up. They have lost this battle already. We speak it so, and we cast them down in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much, Father, for the victory you've given to us. Please encourage all of your people out there to pray and to exercise faith and to speak the word. We just saw what the word says about this situation. And we just need to confess it. Just like people confess your salvation, Lord, when they come to you. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, but the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We confess your wonderful salvation once more. Lord, your deliverance from the wicked right now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. We'll do this again sometime. Good night.